Good Show, Good Podcast. Subscribe to Podcasts of Good Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. This is Leafs Nation Postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today. Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, another win, another night for the Maple Leafs, 4-1 on the road in Columbus. Welcome back to Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey and Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Leafs Nation Postgame is brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick, producer Sam McKee, and technical op Josh Santos helping the cause tonight as well. You can hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts on the second Leafs victory of the season at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. But I thought Jim Ralph put it perfectly to wrap up the broadcast tonight. A skill win, I would say, for the Maple Leafs in this one.
Yeah, it really was, Nick. And, you know, you think about last year, all the excitement and hype, and actually they were 1-1, but they got outplayed by the Montreal Canadiens, won in overtime, played terrible against Ottawa, and then struggled against Chicago in game three. So they really didn't get going like they have in these first two games last season until about games 4, 5, and 6. And boy, skill kills, speed kills, skill kills. And of all things, Cody Ceci, first goal as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, caught my eye. Most ice time, Cody Ceci.
Wow.
Even more than Morgan Rielly. He was on for over 24 minutes for some of the new Leafs that came through. But while we're paying tribute to the skill of the Mitch Marners and the Austin Matthews of the world, Freddie Anderson again. Holy macro, this whole thing about load management. I think Mike Babcock's going to want to play him 82 games. like he's a huge factor in all these, both these wins, with needing to come up with some big saves early in the game to let the skill then take over.
Yeah, certainly I think, it's so important, especially for a team like the Maple Leafs. I think many would presume they're going to be a playoff team this year, to keep them as fresh as possible for the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially everything we've seen in the postseason before. Not to say that he has been the issue in the playoffs, but again, you want to keep him as fresh. And I'm with you. I thought Freddie was dialed in this game to a couple of occurrences late in the second period, early in the third, where, you know, I hate to use cliches, but they sort of weathered the storm. You know, Columbus was coming. They rode a bit of a momentum wave after the Cam Atkinson goal in the second period. And your first line of defense, as you know, Gord, is always your goaltending. Anderson was strong in this one.
Yeah, and of course, like we say, we'll hear from Mike Babcock shortly. Chris Johnson is going to join us from Columbus, get kind of an update that way. But, you know, the goaltending, Nick, as well, in Toronto, we, if you're a Leaf fan, got spoiled by 6 years of Curtis Joseph and Ed Belfour. And then nothing. You know, then you had on the Vesa Toskal era, the Andrew Raycroft era, the Jonathan Bernier era. You know, good on James Reimer. He was probably the best of that group. But all those other guys, Justin Pogge, I mean, all these guys never panned out that way. So all of a sudden to get Freddie Anderson, you're seeing what solid goaltending, when you didn't have it for about a decade, does. And I got to tell you, if I'm the Columbus Blue Jackets right now, and I'm saying, I know it's one game. But, you know, you're saying we lost Sergei Bobrovsky and we didn't go get a Freddie Anderson type. We think Jonas Korpisalo is good enough. Freddie killed him tonight. Jonas Korpisalo was pretty ordinary.
I'd argue he killed the Blue Jackets, Jonas.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know Freddie killed, but you're right. That's it. Yeah. And just whether it was on Mitch Marner's goal, and we'll go over the goals later, yeah, but, you know, coming late on the shot, not being able to find the puck and kicking one in, and, you know, on and on that way.
Yeah, certainly I think, you know, Korpisalo helped the Leafs out in this one, but full credit to them. And, you know, ad nauseum almost after the first game, a 5-3 win against Ottawa back on Wednesday, we talked a lot about, and rightfully so, Austin Matthews. On this night, I think the Marner line was the top line for the Maple Leafs. Would you agree with that?
No question. And really, the other night, Mitch Marner was the one guy, when I say you didn't notice, I mean, that's not much
quieter than he normally is.
Yeah,
yes.
And tonight he was not quiet. He was Mitch Marner, 2 goals, 1 assist, plus one. 4 shots on net, 19 minutes, 33 seconds of ice time. So he played the most of any forward for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which he deserved. I mean, wow, like this skill. Like, it's almost like
there's
you got
to,
you know, I remember years ago when, again, way back when in the 80s, but I'm just using example, those great Edmonton Oilers teams that won all those Stanley Cups. So we were out there with the Leafs playing on a Saturday night. It was a quirky schedule thing. They hosted the Calgary Flames on the Friday, the Oilers did. So we went and watched the Calgary-Edmonton game, and say they beat Calgary 8-3. And the next night, say they beat the Leafs, us, 9-2. Okay, and back then, there was no Sportsnet or TSN or, you know, highlights like there are available nowadays. And I'm looking, and there's 17 goals they scored. and three or four were the best I've seen all season. And I'm saying, Edmonton, do you understand any idea what you have no idea what how great you have it here right now? Now, I'm not trying to compare now about four Stanley Cups in a row, but if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and especially a loyal, long-suffering one, and you're going to these games or watching these games or listening to these games, you go, wow. Wow, like the incredible talent, the riches they have right now.
Bottom line, enjoy the moment. I think if you're a fan of the Maple Leafs, somebody covering this team, as we all know, certainly I think you're right in bringing that up, that on a nightly basis, there are just so many guys who can beat you. We all shook our heads watching that goal and that game. Just that finish, that shot by Austin Matthews is next to none right now, I'd feel, in the NHL. That was an absolute snipe, Gord.
How much room did he have?
None.
Like, you know, it's like those Scoro things when you can win a car so the puck barely goes through there. That, I mean, that's what he does and puts it in short side. So short side is taboo. A goaltender should never be beaten short side except a shot like that. Like, it was fun. I think even the Columbus bench had to go, wow, can you believe that?
Imagine playing that shot if you're a goaltender. You have no chance in the world.
Absolutely. You could be wearing the drapes of John Sebastian Giguere and all that, and it would still elude even those with the oversized equipment.
No shot. That scored Stelic. I'm Nick Alberga. The Leafs take game two of the season, 4-1 the final. They now head home to take on and host the Montreal Canadiens on Hockey Night in Canada. We also have that game for you on Sportsnet 590 of the Fan and the Leafs Radio Network coming up on Saturday night. Plenty to come. We're just getting started. Some post-game remarks. Chris Johnston, Mike Babcock, among others, as we roll on here. You're listening to the Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, the Maple Leafs now 2-0 on this early season, taking care of business on the road in Columbus tonight, 4-1 the final. This is Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. It's Nick Alberga, joined alongside Gord Stelic, still to come here in the postgame show. Of course, Chris Johnston. Also, we'll hear from Mike Babcock, among others, as the Maple Leafs, again, taking care of business. The skill game takes over. Mitch Marner was outstanding. 2 goals and an assist in this one. Morgan Riley, it was all about Tyson Barry in game one. Tonight, it was about Morgan Riley. 3 assists in the back end, Gord.
Yeah, plus one, 2 shots as well. 23 minutes, 12 seconds. Yeah, he's just a horse, and you're seeing right now they're alternating him and Tyson Barry on the power plays and playing up forward on the point, and both times they almost got caught. Austin Matthews once playing D, and like you said, Austin Matthews, the James Norris Trophy will not be among the silverware he ultimately could win. And then Willie Nylander got caught on one of those, actually made a good play trying to, but a good shorthanded rushes from the Columbus Blue Jackets there. So certainly mentioned Morgan Riley catching our eye, but also in the new segment we have for one night only, maybe every night, like, what's the big deal? Some people think, why is this a big deal? And others think it is a big deal. So Jason Spezza was my big deal. My 3 keys to victory was, Jason, please have a good game because I want you to play. I want you to have a positive experience here. I love that you're back. I think most fans are. He got 10 minutes, 36 seconds of ice time. He had 2 shots on net. He drew a penalty, first penalty of the game. He drew a penalty with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And later on, after he was on for the one goal against, which was a power play goal by Columbus, Babs put him on the power play for a little bit. And I like what he can bring. I'd like when you see him out there, his smarts and the element that way. So I don't know if Babs just likes to stir the pot and, you know, remind everyone he's the boss or something, and he's got to learn penalty killing. He won't just get power play. But I was glad to see him get over 10 minutes. I was glad to see him in the lineup, and I was glad to see him get a little PP time.
And certainly a game Jason Spezza has been waiting a long, long time to play, and even, excluding, I guess, Wednesday night's game when he was a healthy scratch and making his Leafs debut. I think you're right in bringing that up. Certainly not really a big topic of conversation, but it was the last couple days here in Toronto. The Maple Leafs taking care of business, 4-1 the final. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stelic. Momentarily, we'll be joined by Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Frederik Andersen, very, very solid again. I think it just speaks, Gord, as well to the depth of this organization. Again, game one, it was more the Matthews line. This game, more the Marner line. You get guys like Cody Ceci chip in. It's going to help. We really haven't seen much in the third line offensively. I know Mikhaev scored in his NHL debut back on Wednesday, but Alex Kerfoot's going to chip in. I think if you're a team, say, you know, even the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday night, getting ready to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't know where you start in terms of trying to figure out a game plan to shut out all these weapons, because there are so many guys who can beat you right now.
Well, there are. And really, for the Montreal Canadiens, of course, as you mentioned, we have the game. We'll have Leafs Nation pregame at 6:30 p.m., and we'll talk about that. And the Montreal-Toronto games are just a whole different animal. They've always been that way, regardless of who's hot, who's not. And usually it was Montreal was hot and Toronto wasn't.
Not anymore.
I know, not anymore. Or if they're even and that. So, again, those will be those types of challenges. I did like that he put three other guys in the lineup tonight. So it wasn't just Jason Spezza and Nick Petan and Justin Hull. And you mentioned before, like, Justin Hull didn't get into, like, late October
November 1 last year.
So, yep. You know, he languished in the press box. So keeping those guys going as far as the depth factor rather than being stuck in the press box indeterminately. And I got to think at some point that the Leafs right now are carrying three extra players. They're so close to the cap that you're going to find a lot of times that they may have to get down to one or two extras, which I don't have a problem with. But just for cap reasons or just have guys going up and down to get days out of the NHL payroll and save you a few shekels, rubles off the NHL salary cap figure, which the Leafs are hard-pressed against.
No doubt, and I think it'll keep them hungry, I think, pertaining to that conversation, especially on the fourth line, the sixth defenseman, keep those guys hungry in and out of the lineup and wanting and chomping for more at the bit. Certainly, you know, special teams, a big-time factor, Gord. As you know, come the Stanley Cup playoffs, you're going to have to produce both sides of the puck. And, you know, ultimately you look at the Boston Bruins series, maybe one of the undoings for this Maple Leafs team was from a PK standpoint. What have you made of the special teams thus far for this organization first couple games of the year?
Well, I've liked.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
The switching of, like, Marner and Matthews switching sides. I've liked a lot of elements. They, you know, maybe could, you got what, three power play goals and 10 opportunities over the two games. So that's not too shabby. What struck me, Nick, and we're watching it, I remember last year I talked about that kind of pedestrian start that they had the start of the season, the first three games. Part of it was they weren't drawing any penalties. Remember that? Like, they were getting like one or two, and I think there was zero. I think there was a ridiculously few amount of penalties last year to start the season. So all that power you never got to see on the power play. Here, they've had five power play opportunities in the first two games. That's what's really caught my eye more, Nick, that because you're a skilled team and a speed team, you draw penalties. And you've really seen it. You saw the hand go up, pulling a player down. I'm trying to remember which penalty that was. But just, you know, ones you don't need to do unless you're getting beat. Like, kind of a defensive back and pass interference, you know, the hockey equivalent of that. So I've just been impressed with drawing penalties because they are so skilled.
Yeah, and I guess bottom line, to add to that point, certainly as you referenced, if you have all the skill in the world and all the speed in the world, there's only so much the opponent can do to neutralize your speed. And I think you're going to draw penalties, because I do remember that last year. It was sort of insane how many potential penalties could have been called. The Leafs didn't get those calls. This time around, they are. And that's the key to this power play proficiency, is just making teams pay when it matters, and that's especially on the power play. That being said, it always helps when you're getting goals from, departments where you don't normally think you're going to get them. Cody Ceci, his second game as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, scores his first goal with the Leafs, and here he was postgame.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was first game was a little overwhelming playing the old team and everything, but tonight felt a little better, and it was nice to get that first one out of the way and help the team win.
How important is it to have that screen and utilize it? It seems like your teammates did a lot of that, several of the goals tonight.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was all Johnny. I mean, he was in front of the net all night, and he made it possible for us to get him through. I mean, to have that screen is huge, especially in this league. I mean, goalies are going to stop you if you're one-on-one, but having the screen helps a lot.
We're running out of ways to kind of describe Austin's shot. Now that you've seen it up close in practice a few times, and tonight again, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, see it day after day is pretty amazing. I mean, you usually see it on SportsCenter, but now I get to see it every single day. So it's pretty cool to watch, and it's nice to see how fast you can get it off.
Morgan with three assists here tonight. We know what you can do offensively. What's the perspective defensively as you guys work together?
Yeah, I think... I mean, everyone knows he's a really good offensive player, and I think having us together and we're seeing a lot of the top lines, it's just as important to stop them from scoring, and he's doing a great job of doing both right now.
Spezza drew the penalty that Mitch scored his first power play goal on, and before your goal, his line forced that icing, and he had that chance. So can you comment on his game tonight?
Yeah, he's been awesome. I haven't had a chance to play with him in a while, so it's nice to see him on the same team again. And he was definitely a force for us tonight. He's a big body, controls the puck, and he was drawing penalties and having them in their zone. He's always good at controlling the puck since he's got that long reach. So it's fun to play with him again.
Yeah, I'm sure you're a sentimental guy. I think Morgan maybe got you the puck in that goal. Do you have an idea what you might want to do with him?
I'm not too sure yet. I have a plaque done up for my first goal with Ottawa, so I guess I'll have to make up a plaque and I'll put it right beside it in the basement.
Not many people have one of those, a plaque. Ottawa and Toronto.
Yeah, those are pretty rare and didn't really deal with each other too much, but I guess times are changing.
All right, there you have it. Cody Ceci is first as a member of the Maple Leaf squad.
Yeah, Lance Hornby asking that last question, saying, I don't think a lot of guys have a Toronto and Ottawa plaque. There will be more this year. There will be a lot of guys like the Connor Browns of the world that will have their first goal as a Leaf and first goal as a Senator. But it's interesting, again, we talk about his first goal as a Leaf. He brings up John Tavares. John Tavares, Andreas Janssen had some bite.
Oh, yeah.
There was a little bit more physicality out there in that game against Columbus tonight that there was a little bit of intensity, and Johnny T gets ticked every now and then. And the team gets ticked when Johnny T gets ticked. And Janssen took two penalties in the first period. One was a real good penalty. Might have saved a goal, but I like, because people say, boy, are the Leafs physical enough? Can they be tough enough? Can they be a team that can be out-physicaled? And certainly tonight it had a lot more edge than the Ottawa game, and you had a couple of guys that's what you wanted them, just that kind of physicality. It doesn't have to be a fourth-line guy you go and get. It just has to be a guy like John Tavares and Andreas Janssen, more than capable to stand up for themselves.
I also noticed from a physicality standpoint, Jake Muzzin on the back end and Cody Ceci playing that rough-and-tumble type game, because we know Mike Babcock likes that type of defenseman, especially in terms of the penalty kill, which you see a lot of Muzzin and Ceci. And so far, you know, the point total are not there, but Jake Muzzin's really, really impressed me. Granted, again, we are still two games into this season, but that's the type of role. You know, he's one of those guys who's not going to wear a letter, but certainly his time in L.A. Demonstrated his ability to lead a team, produce when it mattered, be a secondary option on the back end. And so far, so good from that front. The Maple Leafs taking it 4-1, the final here in Columbus, 2-0 in the season, getting set to host the Montreal Canadiens on Hockey Night in Canada, and also here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Saturday night. Montreal 0-0-1 to start this season. They lost in the shootout, but that should be a good one coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah, it really will. And again, Hockey Night in Canada, Toronto, Montreal, you can't beat it, and we'll be down there, so you can't beat that as well. Jake Muzzin, you mentioned three shots on net, and when he came to Toronto, I was a little surprised. He wasn't as quick as I thought. And I guess playing with Drew Doughty, you forget, that probably dwarfs a bit. But I love his physicality. I love his shot. Mm-hmm. He had a better shot than I thought he would. So he had that part. And a quick one before we hear from another player is, yep, shots are 29-29. But boy, Columbus, 13 shots, 7 by Cam Atkinson, 6 by Nick Foligno. That's kind of six by Josh Anderson, excuse me. So 13 of their 29 shots from two players. So it really does show, to your point about the third and fourth lines, and that more balance from the Toronto Maple Leafs that way.
I tell you right now, I did not even notice Gustav Nyquist on the ice. I think by far, when you look at the Columbus perspective, as we're about to throw to Jason Spezza here, is the Jenner line I thought was really, really strong and caused havoc for the Maple Leafs in this game from a defensive zone look. But outside of that, there weren't many others who had a big game offensively, clearly, for the Columbus Blue Jackets. But again, as it always is going to be when your team wins, your goaltending's got to be strong. I thought Frederik Andersen was solid in spurts in the second and third period. So the Maple Leafs take it 4-1. Jason Spezza makes his Maple Leafs debut, two shots on goal, drew a penalty in the first period. Here he was postgame.
Take us to the second period, Jason, and just the importance of what you guys were able to do on the forecheck to establish opportunities and lead to an icing that eventually led to a goal.
Yeah, I think just in general, I thought we did a good job in the first, getting through that. When you play a team in their home opener, you know they're going to be fired up. And then in the second, we took over some momentum and followed up with 2-3 good shifts in a row by a bunch of different lines and kind of swung momentum a little bit.
Obviously not the ice time you're used to, but talk about the little things such as drawing the penalty and the push that your fourth line had before Cody Ceci's goal, things like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you judge your nights differently now, and you know, we're trying to be a good positive influence on the game. We're trying to make sure that we're playing down there. We're getting D zone assignments to make sure we get out quick, and then yeah, trying to you know, be good on both ends of special teams.
How did you feel just in general tonight?
Yeah, good. You know, it's been a few days since the game, but you know, felt good. And It's good to get a win, and it's fun to get back playing. So, you know, it's something to build off of for sure.
What are you seeing from Frederick Gauthier down low that's making him effective, at least in the last couple of games that we've seen?
Yeah, I think he's a big, strong guy. I think he's playing with confidence. He obviously had a good camp, and that can give you confidence as a young player. And, you know, as a Lion, we did little things well, and that's why we got chances and got looks, and then you were in the trust. So he's done a lot of good things, and he's going to continue getting better.
Cody Ceci was saying it's nice to be back on the same side as you. Yeah. I mean, how have you seen him grow as now he's kicking a new team, a new chapter in his career?
Yeah, now you can tell he's a poised, mature, veteran guy back there. When I played with him, he was a poised rookie. You know, he really surprised us all when he came in, and he was you know, very stoic with his approach to the game. He's very calm, made good outlet passes, but now you can see there's more personality to him. There's, you know, he's more of a veteran presence back there, and from the games I've seen, he's played really well.
You're a guy that's been on that short side top corner a few times in your career. How impressive is Matt's ability to do that?
It's pretty fun to watch. It's a special shot that he's got, and maybe a little bit of osmosis. We can all get a little better at our wrist shots by watching him. So, you know, he's pretty impressive, and it's special. And he works hard at it, though. It's not just something that comes to him. He works at his game. I see him every day. He's out there shooting extra pucks, and I've been really impressed with just his approach and demeanor and how seriously he takes his game.
There is the reason Nick Petan now wears number 61. That is Jason Spezza of the Toronto Maple Leafs following his debut, longstanding a couple of days from Wednesday, but he does make his debut. Played pretty decent, played some power play time on PP2, a 4-1 win here for the Maple Leafs on the road in Columbus. Percentages that Jason Spezza plays on Saturday night in the back-to-back on home ice?
Well, for me, it would be 100%. I'm saying about...
How about Babs?
I'm saying like 60-40. I mean, give him a home game. Come on, give him a home game. Come on.
Maybe get Savvy and the Blues on Monday night.
Against St. Louis Blues on Monday. Have him sit out that one. I don't know. Like, he loves the GOAT. Freddie Gauthier is like a teacher's pet. So, so we'll see. But, you know, by the way, just it's interesting. We see a graphic come up that I talked about the lack of power plays. Leafs were dead last in the NHL last year in penalties against the opposition. 2.57 per game was the average the opposing team took. Right now they've had 5 in each of the first 2 games so far. So like double from last year. But to the point about that power play. And to the point, Jason Spezza will be part of that second power play unit. I mean, that's a value-added element that he can give you.
2 goals from Mitch Marner, 1 from Austin Matthews, and the other from Cody Ceci. A 4-1 win for the Maple Leafs on the road in Columbus. Much more to come here on Leafs Nation postgame. Chris Johnson from Nationwide Arena will hope to hear from Mike Babcock as well as we roll on here. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
One Maple Leafs in Columbus, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame roars on here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Still to come, Chris Johnson from Nationwide Arena, as well as the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock. It's time for the VTech call of the game. When the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call, call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize to qualify for the grand prize. Visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Riley keeps it alive. Matthews far side with a shot. Hit the goalpost. No, he scores! How did that come out that fast?
The only person on the ice that thought it was in was the official, who pointed right away, but nobody is arguing.
Wow!
And this is a shot. We talked about the chance he had earlier. It was a sharp angle. This was even sharper.
Gordo, what's your favorite type of cheese? I'm going provolone on that one.
Well, I, you know, we saw Willie Nylander do it that last preseason game against Detroit. We were down at Scotiabank Arena, and this is just the same kind of thing that everyone just gasps, Because Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph, you said, there's no room. And we've seen Austin Matthews do it. And basically, it's not just the speed, but it's the trajectory. So he works on just firing it at the most direct angle for the most minuscule of space to get in the corner. And we'll look forward to Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph had so many great calls. So the call of the game, we were just debating it. And then all of a sudden that happened. We said, oh, yeah, that's, I don't even know what Joe said, but that's got to be it because that was just incredible.
It wrote itself, that's for sure. It's time to bring in from Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca and Hockey Night in Canada. It's Chris Johnston. Chris, your reaction when you saw that shot from Austin Matthews tonight?
It was pretty sick. I mean, it was a shocker, honestly. I mean, I was in the press box and it's one of those ones you're almost not sure from that distance 100% that it's in just because it went in and out so quickly. And, you know, I've been lucky to cover most of Austin's games in the NHL. So we've seen a lot of this type of thing from him. But, you know, it's hard not to have the feeling as though, you know, he's taken it to another level to start this year. And, you know, he scored in all four preseason games he played this fall. And now he's scored in both of the regular season games. And, you know, you just feel if he can be healthy that we're going to see a pretty high goal total from him. I mean, certainly, I think he's cresting 40 and he's probably going to chase 50 if this continues.
It was one of two power play goals tonight, Chris, and a stat up there reminding us that the Leafs were dead last year, 31, about opposing teams taking penalties against them. And I was saying that to Nick. I remember early last year, when Tavares came and you said, wow, let's see this power play. And they were getting like zero power plays, one or two per game early on the season. And tonight, these first two games, they've got five power play opportunities each game. But you've really seen the skill kills the other team. Like the Leafs are just too fast and skilled and Columbus has to take some penalties. And I'm just curious. I wonder why that didn't happen as much last season, what we've seen the first two games.
Well, I don't want to ruin it for you, but I'm guessing it's not going to happen this season for too much longer, honestly. I mean, I think you tend to see more power plays called in the early part of the season. And obviously, every team that plays the Leafs, it's going to be a pretty strict mandate from their coaching staff to limit that. Because, you know, if you look at tonight's game in general, I mean, I thought the Blue Jackets played pretty hard. They had a few, you know, sections of the game where they were dominant. And, you know, they ran into some tough goaltending from Frederik Andersen. But, you know, they also had... you know, the fact that the Leafs then poured in a couple power play goals that sort of made it more one-sided on the scoreboard than I think it was in reality. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to last most likely, just a feel. You know, I'm not saying the Leafs are getting screwed over by anything here or anything, but, you know, I just do believe that you're going to see this go down. Sorry, Austin Matthews' dad just came over and said hi, so I lost my train of thought.
No problem. It's Leafs Nation postgame. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick on the line is Chris Johnston from Nationwide Arena. A 4-1 win for the Maple Leafs on the road in Columbus. Why don't you give us your thoughts on Cody Ceci, unheralded player that comes over in the Nikita Zaitsev trade. I thought he was very steady, clearly scores his first goal as a member of the Maple Leafs. And I think, Chris, that's the key when it comes to Cody Ceci. If you don't hear much about him, he's probably having a good game, no?
He is, and, you know, one thing you'll hear about him tonight, which was a bit of a surprise, he played almost 25 minutes. He led the Leafs in ice time in the game, and you know, that's a show of, you know, like support from the coaching staff. And, you know, I don't know what this guy's going to be yet. You know, I don't know that anyone does for sure. I mean, clearly the main reason he's here in Toronto is because the Leafs had to get rid of Nikita Zaitsev's contract, and that was part of the price that they had to take back to do it. And, you know, I think that the coaching staff and management feel that there's a chance that they can get his career maybe on a better track. I mean, he was just given, you know, probably the toughest minutes in the league or among the toughest minutes in the league last year. Probably not a role that he's most, you know, suited for. And, you know, getting to play with Morgan Rielly, I think that the coaching staff has given him a pretty simple game plan. And you're right. If he can just play fairly steady, it doesn't have to be spectacular. I don't think they're looking for a ton of offense from him, and you're going to get the odd goal like tonight. But, you know, maybe it's one of these cases that a change of scenery, a fresh set of eyes, playing on a better team. I mean, let's face it, played six seasons in Ottawa, and the Sens, you know, the one year they went all the way to the Eastern Conference Final, but for the most of the time, you know, they've been a struggling franchise, and he's had to take a lot of the hard minutes, and you know, for a team that was last in the league. So, you know, I think he's a bit of a project for the Leafs, and we'll just kind of see where his game evolves to.
Chris Johnson joining us after the Leafs 4-1 win over Columbus. You mentioned Austin Matthews' dad there, and of course you're a guy that's got to know the Matthews family for years, just when Austin kind of burst on the scene as the notoriety being a great young player. I liked meeting the families on the road. They generally were just in their home cities, but now everybody travel. I like meeting more some families more than others. But anyway, they travel around a bit more. You see so many fans in Columbus. I'm curious, like, how many games maybe, I don't know, like, would Austin Matthews' dad be at, or Mitch Marner's, like dad's families on the road that make trips as well?
You know, I'd have to guess. You know, I don't know about Marner. I mean, obviously, with him being a local guy, I would expect his parents are at most of the 41 home games. You know, in the case of Matthews' family, you know, they still live out in Arizona, and so they tend to come for sections of the schedule. I would say 20 games a year. I mean, obviously, they probably target homestands when they can stay in Toronto and stay with their son. But, you know, let's remember, these guys are still pretty young. I know entering the fourth year in the league for both Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, but, you know, they're 22 years old. And you know, I think that family time is important. And obviously, they're of the means where that can be made possible. And you know, I think it's something the Leafs encourage, frankly. I mean, they have a family room down at Scotiabank Arena for home games. And, you know, I think that there's sort of a wider idea of what a team is in that environment. It's the wives and girlfriends and partners and parents and all that stuff. And especially when you have a roster as young as the Leafs, they're the fourth youngest team in the league right now. And, you know, I think that they welcome having the parents around.
I'm sure they do. In another big game and a big goal for Austin Matthews, 4-1 for the Maple Leafs in Columbus. Last one before we let you go, CJ. Just Jason Spezza finally makes his Maple Leafs debut. What did you make of him? And what do you expect in terms of a lineup for the Maple Leafs, when they host Montreal on Saturday night?
Well, I thought Spezza did well given how limited the role was. I mean, probably a third of his shifts were situations on a penalty kill or a 4-on-4 in the Leafs zone where his job was literally to try to win the faceoff and then get off the ice as quickly as possible. You know, we saw his line with Gauthier and Patan actually have a few shifts with offensive, you know, in the offensive zone where they got rolling around a little bit and controlling the puck. And you know, I would say this, that there was a glimmer of hope in Mike Babcock's post-game assessment of Spezza that, you know, he really liked his energy on the bench. He thought that he did what was asked of him and was embracing that role because, you know, that's one thing the Leafs coaches doubted, that you get a former number two overall pick, a guy who's had 90 points in the league and all kinds of offensive achievements, that he's truly willing to, you know, have games where he plays 8, 9, or 10 minutes and you know, is doing sort of the unheralded type of stuff. But, you know, I would think that we're going to see him have a chance at winning a job. I mean, he's still in a battle right now. And, you know, the plan for tomorrow night is to go back to the same lineup they used Wednesday against Ottawa. So that's, you know, Spezza, Patan, and Justin Hall, who didn't play very much here at all sitting out and you know, bringing back in Marinchin on the third D pairing with Sandin and having Timoshov and Nick Shore play with Koche on the fourth line. But, you know, Mike Babcock didn't know that they're going back to Spezza and Patan and the like on Monday's game in St. Louis. So essentially right now, they're just going back and forth with the fourth line. I think they're trying to see what works. But if you're Jason Spezza tonight, I think you're feeling good that you at least made a good showing and your first chance to kind of audition for this role. And even in despite his name and where he's been and what he's accomplished, it does seem as though he's still trying to win a spot with his team here in the next month or so.
Yep, got to earn everything. CJ, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
And we'll catch you on Hockey Headlines. All right, boys. Catch you on Hockey Headlines tomorrow, right? Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, as long as the plane lands safely, I'll be there.
Okay, there we go.
So I never know what to say when people say that.
It will land safely. Yes,
fingers crossed.
Yes, he will land safely. He will land safely.
So there's Chris Johnston from Nationwide Arena, 4-1 win for the Maple Leafs, 2-0 on the season. From there, we're going to scurry on over to Mike Babcock's post game scrum in Columbus.
Take this back to the opening 5 minutes of the game tonight, Mike, and just what Freddie's presence meant in terms of steadying things and getting you guys off on the right foot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you come on the road, you know, you're going to have to try to weather the first 10 and do good things. I thought we did a good job of that and got through that. I thought we got playing pretty good when we went ahead 2-0, then we got carried away and turned the puck over a number of times. We gave them the one goal there, and then they got some momentum, but I thought we got ourselves reset in between the second and third and came out and played well.
How do you like how that power play's coming together early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want it to be real dangerous. We have good people on it and we have a good scheme. You know, I thought Little John did a great job tonight taking the goalie's eyes, which really helped on two of the goals. One wasn't a power play, but two goals. So, you know, that's a big part of it too. But obviously, you want to have success in your special teams.
What do you think the little things Spezza was lined in tonight? Him drawing the penalty and then the push that led to the face-off where CeCe scored?
Yeah, we kind of had Kerb's line came out there and then Spezza's line, and then they get out there and their center was out there for a minute and 30. So, you know, it was kind of back-to-back-to-back there, which was a real good job. I thought Spezza was real good. You know, I thought he was real happy to be doing what he's doing. He was great on the bench. He was great on the ice. He was good in the room. And I thought he did a good job for us, so good for him. You know, we're going to go right back the way we were tomorrow and give those guys another opportunity, and then we'll come back again the following day.
Is his job on the PK there just to win the draw?
That's his job, yeah, basically. And, you know, we do the same with Goat on that other side at the start, and then we play him later in the penalty kill. We got some real good penalty killers, obviously. McHale's going to be a real good one. And then when you put in our other guys with Mitchie and Morsey and Kapanen, those are good guys, and we want them out there first, but we need someone to get the draw. I thought he did a good job, and that he got cut out the one time. I actually put him out at the end, probably screwed him a bit. He was breathing out his eyelids when he got back to the bench. I asked him if he could take the face off, and he said for sure, and then didn't win it. And they seamed him, and he got run around a little bit, but that's part of it. But I was impressed with him tonight, and I was impressed with he was happy to do what we need him to do. Yeah, Hutch tomorrow.
All right, there you have it. The head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock, using sort of every analogy in the book, every nickname in the book, and suffice to say he was happy with his team in this one.
Yes, Hutch tomorrow, by the way. Michael Hutchison, yep. He said then, as we assumed and predicted, but he's confirming it. I'm trying to, like, he had some good words for Jason Spezza,
yeah,
so that's good.
Yeah, which is encouraging.
I did think, one, you know, you took up a little plays as we look at the visual, and Trevor Moore's hustle on a play coming back, what could have been a 2-on-1, and he negated that. And, you know, those are the ones with this great skilled team and all that goes on that you appreciate. John Tavares did one the other night. Like, just those little things about the whole team concept, which you're going to have to do as much as possible starting game number 83.
Meantime, Mitch Marner, 2 goals and 1 assist. Here were his thoughts on this big 4-1 win for the Maple Leafs.
2 for 6 on the power play tonight. Maybe that's a little deja vu of what we asked you just 2 nights ago, but what did you like here tonight? This was a real key factor in the victory.
I thought our puck movement was good. I thought on certain breakouts, we didn't rush it. We took our time. We stopped. We came back as a group. I thought when they got their rushes, we were coming back as a unit and stopping them, and that's what we need to do more this season, I think, is coming back as a 5-man unit and stopping those rushes. Like I said, I thought our puck movement was good. I thought a lot of guys were shooting in. Getting second opportunities will come in.
How would you describe Andreas' tenacity in battle and sort of that all night?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it last year and the year before. I mean, he's a guy that, not overly big, but man, he's not afraid to get to that net. And that's something that you love on your team and love to have. So he's been a lot of fun to watch, his skill set around the net, but also when he has the puck, it's pretty spectacular. So he's been a big part of this team, and he will be going forward.
What's Morgan meant in transitioning the offense and back right where he left off last spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, all of us said it, is that we want to get better coming in this year. And, I mean, you know, he's definitely a guy that's come in and helped our offense a lot with jumping in the rush, making those plays. But I think all of our D have done that very well. I think all the new guys have came in and helped us get in the puck up quick, joining the rush and being an opportunity to score for us. And I think you know, that's what you need to have a winning team. Shooting wise, I hope so. That's what I worked on a lot this summer, is getting that puck in my hands and getting it off quicker. Not holding on to it as much, not trying to make pretty plays, just trying to get it to the net. And, you know, I think that's what I tried to do tonight. As soon as it came back to me, just get on net. That it got in, so it felt pretty good.
It just didn't look like you had a lot of time. See the hole and
then just go? I mean, I knew that as soon as it came back to me, Mango was in front and kind of creating a screen. And if I got it off quick enough, that I thought I had a chance to put it short side. And like I said, it's something I worked on a lot this offseason, trying to get the shot off quicker and trying to be more of a threat with the shooting. And you know, it was nice to get one tonight.
Were you expecting it to come back from John when you put it into him first?
I mean, you know, I think everyone's expecting the puck on our power play. I don't think, you know, anyone's not ready for it. Whenever we can do that play, and it can go to Matt from Johnny, and he can come back to me, you can go to Mo, you can shoot it. I mean, there's so many options when you go to him. And as soon as he passed it back, like I said, my mentality would just went to get it on net and try to get off quickly.
I think you mentioned in the intermission that you saw Austin score in practice on a similar type of goal. Was that kind of fresh in your mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of happened in practice, same kind of play. It's John back to Matt's, and he shot it, and I think it was against Freddie. Freddie was just a little late coming over, couldn't see it too well. So, like I said, I mean, as soon as it came to me, I just wanted to get it off quickly, and, you know, it was nice to go on.
That little turn back on Moransky, I was kind of surprised to see how much of a lane on
the double for you. I knew it was a one-on-one against him. I knew that our D-man kind of spread the zone out, so there wasn't really anyone below him, and I tried to cut back. I just tried to cut his lane off and get to the middle, and lucky enough got that and got to the net and tried to throw it kind of, I guess, in the pile, try and go five hole or something like that, went off the post or whatever, and kind of hit his foot and went in. So it was a nice feeling.
The breakdown right there from Mitch Marner, 2 goals and 1 assist, a 4-1 win for the Maple Leafs on the road in Columbus. And as we said earlier, the Matthews line, probably the best line for the Maple Leafs, scored in the opener on Wednesday. I think we can both agree the best line in this game for the Maple Leafs was the Marner-Tavares combo there.
Yeah, maybe Mitch felt too much pressure wearing the A at home, right? Because he got
that
it.
That was it, yes.
So he didn't wear it because Austin Matthews wore it on the road tonight. So it looks like they will alternate wearing the A's home and road while Morgan Riley wears the A full-time and John Tavares, of course, the C.
All right, there you have it. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. We'll hit another break. Other side, we'll recap the 5 goals from this one. Also take a little peek at the out-of-town scoreboard, the Winnipeg Jets. We talked about them in the first and second intermission. They were fini en français. That means finished. I guess not. Corey Schneider goes down, and the Devils somehow squandered a 4-goal cushion in that game. We'll tell you what happened coming up. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Without question, a very tasty meal at that. Maple Leafs take it 4-1 on the road in Columbus at Nationwide Arena, improving to 2-0 on the season. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick. Leafs Nation postgame is brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. So the Maple Leafs 2-0 on the season. Gord getting set to host the Montreal Canadiens on Hockey Night in Canada.
3 games and 4 nights to start it out. And yeah, I like to have the Toronto-Montreal rivalry. That's just always great. Looking forward to it. It's nice coming in 2-0. Montreal played well in Carolina. They got a point out of it. It went to a shootout. And even guys like Max Domi, he played well in Toronto when he was with Arizona and with Montreal. So it's going to be a great one, and we'll have it all for you tomorrow night.
All right, let's get to the recap. The first game of the season for the Columbus Blue Jackets, their home opener clearly against the Maple Leafs, 1-0 after that 5-3 win against the Ottawa Senators back on Wednesday. Kind of an affair early in this game where it was rope-a-dope. You thought Columbus was lulling Toronto to sleep just a tad. That said, on the power play midway through the first period, just like this, 1-0 Buds.
Leafs with the puck into the slot. Now to Marner. He scores! Mitchell Marner got a return pass from Tavares, and he snaps it in over the blocker of Kurt Fasalo, and the Maple Leafs lead 1-0.
There's Joe Bowen on the Leafs Radio Network with a great call right there. And maybe Jonas Korpisalo had too much sushi like Gordon and I pregame because he wasn't quick enough to the react on the one-timer from Mitch Marner, number one on the campaign from Tavares and Riley, 12:04 in on the power play, 1-0 Leafs.
Yeah, we're going to see here a lot, like 3 of the 4 leadership group in on that as Marner, Tavares, and Riley. And yeah, Korpisalo, the first couple of goals and just goaltending in general. I mean, it's the storyline that gets buried a bit, but Freddie Anderson, really timely goaltending saves. And man, Sergei Bobrovsky's gone. I wouldn't be excited what I saw today with Korpisalo. That was, give Marner credit. It wasn't like Austin Matthews shot later on. It was a nice shot, but Korpisalo seemed to be slow to come over and seemed to think there was going to be one more pass. And maybe to the Leafs' credit, they're doing things a little bit different on the power play, that there was a predictability. And here, Mitch Marner took the shot.
Yep, and a great finish right there off the pitch and catch play with John Tavares in the slot. So it was 1-0 Maple Leafs after 20 minutes of play. From that We move on to the second period. I thought Frederik Andersen was steady. Columbus, as the game got going, started to be a bit stronger, had a couple spurts, but Frederik Andersen, easy for me to say, would stand up large for the Maple Leafs. So still a 1-0 game into the second, midway through the second, and a big-time second goal for the Buds.
Nylander in the corner, gets it back to the point to Riley. Near side it comes, and a shot scores! Cody Ceci coming off the right point! And the Maple Leafs have jumped to a 2-0 lead. The first Toronto goal for the Ottawa native and former Senator employee.
They always say scoring is contagious. We did not expect Cody Ceci to score his first as a Maple Leaf just in his second game, but a nice little finish there. The hard work done by Morgan Riley, his third assist already on the season, 2 of 3 helpers in this game. William Nylander, the other assist, second on the year, and just like that, 10:35, the Jackets were pressing, a big 2-0 goal there, Gord.
Yeah, it looked like a harmless type of wrist shot, and Korpisalo seemed to have the angle covered. There was a little bit of traffic in front, so good on the Leafs creating some traffic, but we saw John Tortorella looking at the replay just saying not good enough, and he meant about his team, which kind of collapsed in, but also not good enough from his goaltender on those two goals. And the Leafs, with Cody Ceci's first career Leaf goal, have a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, it was almost like Jonas Korpisalo at that point in time for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So it's 2-0 at that point. Gord, you didn't like that very much, did you?
So it's okay. Yeah, no, I'm just focusing on
I work
the thing
with you now. Like, you got to make these sort of punny remarks or you're just not going to survive with Gord Stellick. So a 2-0 game at that point. It was very, very short-lived. The Leafs get into penalty trouble, and Frederik Andersen got in some trouble as well.
Rolls out in front of the net. They score! Cam Atkinson, who has scored in the season opening game in 6 straight years, has got the Columbus Blue Jackets on the board.
I think that cannon would take years off our lives, man.
You've been there before, right?
I've been there, yeah.
It still stuns you. I was there for the All-Star game a couple years ago. There was like a billion times
that
thing went
off. Oh, I know. That was the All-Star game that got rid of that All-Star game
annoying
format, because it was like 14-12 or something like that.
Didn't need to see it. Primary assist to Frederik Andersen, secondary assist to Jason Spezza, Cam Atkinson unassisted.
Yeah, you know, Cam, by the way, so 29-29 were the shots on goal, and 13 shots for Columbus, 7 by Cam Atkinson and 6 from Josh Anderson. So they had 13 of the 29 shots. 40-goal scorer last year, Cam Atkinson. But this one, Spezza won the draw. It kind of went to nobody. And then Freddie, who just had killed. He's just save after save after save. I mentioned, I don't know if he took fencing lessons or needs to take fencing lessons. He tried to do a little swashbuckling action with the goalie stick. Didn't happen. And this was a real softy. And Atkinson put it in. The thing is, after that, the Blue Jackets had a lot of momentum. But I thought, Nick, that really showed even though the Leafs were holding on for dear life, they did hold on for dear life, and the second period ends with the Leafs still up by a 1-goal margin.
Bend but don't break, for sure. The last 45 seconds, was it, of the second period, I thought Frederik Andersen was outstanding. The Leafs were a team gasping for air, just trying to get to the locker room up, and in fact, as Gord referenced there, they would. So it was 2-1 Maple Leafs after 40, everything on the line in the third period, and this to us, I think, was a sealer at 2:16 early in the third.
Now Tavares in across the line. JT pulls the brakes on. Left it there for Marner. Marner works it back along the near boards. Circles back toward the corner. Heads to the front of the net. Shot. Stop. Scores! Holy mackerel! What a play! And Mitchell Marner makes it 3-1 Toronto.
Worth every penny, at least in my opinion. There's Mitch Marner, second of the game, and that's a big-time goal, deflating the nationwide faithful. We mentioned the second goal got them going just a tad, but at 2:16 of the third period, it's Marner from Tavares and Muzzin, and 16 doing 16 things there, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, one thing I like that Marner's brought into his game is cutting to the net more. And I thought initially he was more of a perimeter player. Very successful, don't get me wrong, but I like the fact that he's cut to the net more. And here's what he did. And there was just a ton of traffic. And he kind of bulldozed there, and the puck went off. It looked like Savard. It certainly went off Korpisalo. Korpisalo kicks it in. And again, in Korpisalo's case, I mean, there was a lot going on. There was a lot of screens, a lot of players in front. But, you know, again, not getting a handle on the puck. So a very different goal for Mitch Marner than the one that he wired. This one he kind of bulldozes in to give the Leafs the 3-1 lead.
So the backbreaking goal in this game brought to you by Gord Stellick's beautiful, beautiful shirt he's got wearing right now. So a 3-1 game as he looks on. What am I wearing today? I have no clue. So it's
good.
A 3-1.
It's a Sportnet golf shirt.
Yeah.
I do look good in it, actually.
There you go. That's what I was referencing. So a 3-1 game at that point. And after that, I think the Leafs really settled in, Gordo. We mentioned it at points in times. He started to wonder, were they crumbling a tad? But I think clearly, you know, Anderson stepping up large late in the second period mixed with the fact that Mitch Marner scores that goal to give them more of a 2-goal cushion was huge in this game, clearly.
Yeah, it was. And they settled in, and then they got on the power play again. But the referee, I hadn't heard of him before, Chris Schlenker and Trevor Hansen were the referee. He looks like he's new. He's wearing number 3. That's a pretty high number. There used to be seniority. You got those, but that's not the case so much with the officials. They wear the big numbers like the players do. But so the power play, they got the chance, and then that puts the creme de la creme on it, doesn't it?
I'm not even going to throw to it. Go to it right now.
Riley keeps it alive. Matthews far side with a shot. Hit the goal post. No, he scores! How did that come out that fast?
Well, the only person on the ice that thought it was in was the official who pointed right away, but nobody is arguing.
Wow!
And this is a shot. We talked about the chance he had earlier. It was a sharp angle. This was even sharper.
Certainly not the first rodeo for Gord Stellick, my astute co-host, and certainly not for Austin Matthews. I even tweeted out he invented a new type of cheese. What a shot there, 4-1 game.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned, you know, maybe with the Grand Marnier calls, creme de menthe or something, I don't know, for an Austin Matthews
like
type call. Yes, something that, along with the cheese, some kind of fine liqueur as well. But, boy, Joe's, it's just like we all thought, like, wow. And then you look and did you talk about threading the needle? I mean, there's no room there. And we've seen this so often. And it's just a real fun goal. Like, it's like Chris Johnson talked about the youth on the team. The Maple Leafs are still the fourth youngest team in the league. Austin's parents were there in Columbus because they don't get a lot of chances. He only goes to Arizona once. So moving around. So that would have been a fun game and a fun goal for the family to see. And the only problem now is all minor hockey kids in Toronto are going to be doing that for the weekend, right? They're going to be passing up the easy pass out there for a tap-in for a goal, whatever. They're going to be trying to do the top cheese, the Grand Marnier, the creme de menthe, whatever, hit the corner. But, guys, you ain't Austin Matthews.
No, nobody is. And an absolute privilege to watch this kid play hockey right now. You've been in the game a long, long time. We're not going to mention how many years, clearly, Gord, because you date back to, what, the 1910s or 1920s.
The Dick Clapper era.
Exactly. We got Dick Clapper in again. We always like to get Dick Clapper in every episode. You got to be careful when you say Dick Clapper.
I'm not calling you Dit, by the way, just so you know.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
no
Nick.
Problem. No, I know. I called you something else.
How many guys, I think, on a shortlist have a shot like Austin Matthews? It's incredible, that release, is it not?
They were kicking around on air. Yeah. So and Sam McKee, because he gets a little grandiose, he like took issue saying, no, he's in a class by himself. But they mentioned Alexander Ovechkin and Patrick Laine, and I'm trying to think other ones, but those were two good ones that
Al
way.
Al Iafrady?
Al couldn't thread the needle.
Boom.
Like that. Like, Al could wire it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just the speed. It's the precision, and also it's how quick he gets it away. You know, that's the other part. It's kind of like that Brett Hull. You know, Brett Hull at the end of a game would have like 4 goals, and he would have touched the puck 4 seconds, and he would have had 4 shots, and that would be Brett Hull, and he wouldn't back check. But you know, but just well, you know, but those kind of things. Stamkos does the same. A lot of them, just you know, that type of thing. But wow, I don't know. I would say right now that it's as good a shot off the top of my head. And again, a little biased because we're going to see a whole lot of Austin Matthews, but it's as good a shot as anybody, in my opinion, I think, has in the NHL.
I was chuckling the other day just thinking back to when people thought it was a serious conundrum. Should they take Laine? Should they take Austin Matthews? Safe to say, Leafs brain trust made the right decision. Another goal, 3 on the year, a 4-1 win for the Maple Leafs in Columbus at Nationwide Arena. The goaltending again, Frederik Andersen. Very solid. 28 saves. He'll get a break coming up on Saturday, won't he?
Yeah, but also, it's funny. You talk about that draft, that memorable draft in Buffalo, mm-hmm. and they went 1-2. The Gasp was next, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Pierre-Luc Dubois, by the way, who is pretty invisible tonight.
Quiet.
But quiet. That's right. That's a better word than invisible. Quiet. But that was the Gasp.
You're harsh, Gord.
And good on high standards. And good on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like, Jesse Puljujarvi was viewed as number 3 overall.
Who?
So I know. So Edmonton thought they lucked out in the draft, that was the first thing out of order. And now, of course, Puljujarvi's waiting to be traded. He's playing in Europe. It just didn't work out at Edmonton. And good on the Columbus scouts for sticking to the gun. And they're kind of kidding that Jarmo Kekalainen being a Finn would lean towards the Finn being Puljujärvi, but he didn't. And that was the gasp in that draft right after Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine.
I remember being in that draft. That was in Buffalo, wasn't it?
That was a rock concert. That was on that Friday night. That wasn't a draft.
It was a buzz.
That was a coronation. You know, because the next day, rounds two through whatever, was a lot of intrigue, and that's where Alex DeBrincat slid.
Yes, because I interviewed him, and I said, you're the sleeper of the draft, and he said, ha-ha, and I said, no, I'm not kidding, and he's
then what did he say? I know you are, but what am I? Or
it went on for a while, but he just signed a big fat ticket. I don't know if you saw another bridge contract for Alex DeBrincat scored in the opening game for Chicago. We'll get to the scoreboard, in mere moments, but let's get to Frederik Andersen. Let's hear some post-game remarks. 28 saves in this 4-1 win on the road.
How important was it, not only to your confidence, obviously, but the team to survive that opening 5 minutes to get your legs and get going?
Yeah, of course, on the road you want to start playing simple and obviously don't turn it over too many times. But I thought we did a good job of sustaining the pressure and get on with the game.
You obviously see a lot, but just awesome shots and the velocity of it.
Yeah, that was very accurate. that was crazy. But his shot is second to none. And also I thought Johnny in front did a hell of a job. Also on Mitch's goal. And I think he's done that a few times now. I think that's equally as important. And I don't know if the goalie would have stopped it anyway. But it's definitely a presence like that in front of the net is very, very important.
Two or three breakaways on you tonight. How important is patience on your part?
Yeah, I mean, you want to try to see what they're doing and obviously not give up anything before they make a move. So just trying to be calm that way. And
Kasperi blocks a shot. I know Mitch did. There were a bunch of other guys. Is this just what you've been seeing from training camp on as this team tries to get up to pace?
Yeah, I thought something a lot of guys have wanted to take pride in, especially this year early on. It's been blocking shots and some big ones. That's going to help us in the long run. And it's a lot of respect for me to have them block without all the gear on that I have. And I think shows you how committed guys are to winning.
The always timid and reserved, and that's the way he plays most times. Frederik Andersen, 28 saves in this one. So, Gord, he'll give way to one Michael Hutchinson in between the pipes for Game 3 Saturday night, a game we do have here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
For better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in load management.
We get
health.
Married, Gord?
No, I'm fine that way. But it's, so Michael Hutchinson tomorrow. We'll see the backup goaltender who was good enough last year.
That's being nice.
Yes.
For the first time tonight, Gord's being nice. Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard early in the first period. The second matchup of the season for San Jose and Vegas, this time at the SAP Center at 0-0 early on. The NHL Global Series from Prague, Czech Republic, a place I've been, Gord has, and it's beautiful. 4-3 Flyers, Carter Hart. Did you see that Konechny goal on the backhand, his second?
Yeah. Oh, nice game for Travis Konechny, yes.
Yeah, and I felt bad for Corey Crawford. That's more so Chicago under Joel Quenneville late into the days when defensively they were just atrocious. They had their issues today. So a 4-3 win for the Flyers in game one of the season. Meantime, we had been ticketing that Devils-Winnipeg game as a blowout, but not really. The Devils up 4-0 in that game, and they would squander it, and they would lose Corey Schneider in the process. Mackenzie Blackwood comes in. A 5-4 shootout win, Gord, for Winnipeg on the road in in New Jersey at Prudential Center. I think it saved their season, no?
Oh, well, it's you know, I tell you don't want to get too far behind the eight ball. And when you've had troubles like Winnipeg has, I mean, that's a huge win to come back. And a devastating home loss for the New Jersey Devils, who expect a lot. They still get a point out of it, but they're up 4-0 at home. Who knows how much Corey Schneider could be injured. I guess Brossoit played goal tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. I'm very big on Hallebuck. I think that'll be a plus for them. But look who scored. I mean, the defense, Neil Pionk got a goal and assist, Kulikov. So two of the four goals came from defensemen. Matthew Perreault, a goal and assist, Ross Levick. So it wasn't the big guns. Laine got an assist. Scheifele got two assists, but wow. What a comeback in a shootout from the Winnipeg Jets. Saves them going down 0-2. And they're starting on the road four games, right? And they're going to go to the island and Pittsburgh after. And you know what? You want to have a fun. You're in New York area. It's the one time you go there. Man, it sucks if you're 0-2. So this is kind of a nice way to let the trip carry on for a few more games.
I would say that's very uplifting for your entire locker room to come back the way they did and, again, salvage 2 points. It seemed like they were doomed and done for after the first game where they lost 6-4 to the New York Rangers and then come from behind a 5-4 win. And the other game, The Washington Capitals holding off the New York Islanders 2-1. The Caps now 2-0 without Evgeny Kuznetsov serving that three-game suspension for being an idiot, as we know. So Ilya Samsonov, his NHL debut, gets the win there. The Capitals are a juggernaut again. We know this by now, but they're a team not to sleep on, certainly.
Yeah, but the interesting storyline there is Samsonov. Yep. And people, you know, he was a first-round pick of the Capitals a few years ago. He's viewed as the heir apparent at some point, but his stats have been kind of ordinary in the American Hockey League. He's really not killed it. But, you know, they got some decisions to make at the end of the year. Not that I think they're looking to move Braden Holtby, but he's one of the guys in the mix about every contract won't fit and they'll have to make a tough decision.
Holtby or Backstrom? I don't think you can really have both at this point in time, right?
That's the decision.
Yeah.
Or that seems to be the decision anyway.
Meantime, 13 games upcoming on Saturday. So certainly a lot to watch out for. Our scoreboard is going to be massive coming up tomorrow night, and that's where we'll join you next. The Maple Leafs hosting the Montreal Canadiens. Just something about that matchup, Gord, I don't care where it's played, where I am, gets me fired up. Does it get you fired up?
Oh, absolutely. And I mentioned, like, when I worked with a Leaf team that wasn't a very good team in the 80s, you kind of got geared up for the Montreal-Edmonton games because Edmonton was a great team, and actually the Leafs tended to play well against them for some reason. But Montreal, just, you know, if you won that game or two, it kind of made your season when you weren't a very good team. Leafs are a very good team, and Montreal actually was a better team last year than a lot of people thought they will be. Remains to be seen what they are 2019-2020.
And so the Maple Leafs improved to 2-0 on this early season, a 4-1 win on the road in Columbus. Don't forget to join us on Saturday night, Leafs and Habs from Scotiabank Arena, starting with Leafs Nation pregame at 6:30 Eastern. Thanks to Sam McKee and Josh Santos for their hard work behind the scenes. For Gord Stelic, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.